You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder.
Well met, zombies and lynxes, and welcome to episode 24 of Hearth Casual. I, of course, am Brian Black, and with me, as always, the resident dad legend of the show, a man who cannot wait for competitive arena esports to happen so that he can be number one in the Arena Fantasy League. It's Kevin Ellis. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well. How do I get to be that good at arena, though? I feel like I need to do a lot of work.
No, in the Fantasy League, because you know how to pick who's going to win.
Oh, did I pick? Because I felt like I was bouncing around a couple different options, but
I felt like you said that your money was on Ad Wicta and his partner.
I did like him just because that they were both arena players, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean that much makes sense, and like Ad Wicta's just a super smart guy to begin with, and Tex apparently did even better.
Yeah.
As a record goes at the end. So, yeah.
He was a guy who kind of carried it all. I got a chance to watch a portion of the whole Twitch Rivals arena thing. It was kind of fun. It was crazy seeing. At first, I was watching Kriparian, but then I switched over to his partner, who's kind of a lesser-known Hearthstone streamer, mm-hmm. and he had this really strong opening. He had like a 12-win run to start off with, then completely tanked his remaining runs. It was just insane. I mean, it's so weird. It's like he had a 12-win run the first time, and then the next two runs, he couldn't buy a lucky draw.
Yeah, exactly. There was kind of some interesting metagame to this tournament for sure, in that, like, you know, because you could reset your deck as many times mm-hmm. as you needed to until you got one that you really liked, and then you'd try really hard for a triple run or like a Shady run with that one.
Yeah, Shady Bunny apparently tried rerolling for a good deck quite a few times.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just makes it interesting. You know, it's honestly, as a Twitch tournament, is much like the one that we recently had, also put on by Frodan, the one with, forget the name of it exactly, but it's the one where they were trying to build a count. Yeah, Gold Rush. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So similar idea in that, like, yes, they're playing Hearthstone, but there's this other just total metagame element to it. Like, what's the most efficient way to get these results that we need, you know? And I do regret I didn't get to watch the end of this, though. So I mean, we just kind of mentioned who won, of course, but if you haven't had a chance to go back and watch it, I hear it's super worth it because obviously they cover this on this past week's Lightforge. You know, they happen to have one of the co-hosts on there already, turned out, mm-hmm. you know, strange coincidence, right? In Ad Wicta. but yeah, so they covered it in really great depth, and it all came down to, I guess, this run that Tech had done at the very end, which was just insane because it came down to, I guess, one of those bomb lobbers, or what's the name, the two mana one. And it was all about where his bombs hit would affect whether or not he won the game and thus the tournament. So, like, apparently it really came down to the wire at the end. So this, I'd say it was a huge success from the sound of it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm hoping that Frodan remains inspired to do more stuff like this in the future. Kevin, I want to see an arena tournament where people are drafting arena decks and able to play those decks, even if they have more than two copies of a card, but be able to play them against each other. I feel like I don't know how much programming would be required to, like, save an arena deck and allow you to play an arena deck against someone on your friends list. But I have to think it can't be that hard.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the tech's already in the game for it, right? My concern with this kind of thing historically was always that, okay, well, if you have a tournament and you're playing arena decks where, you know, obviously the deck that you're given is random to a degree, there was always the risk of, like, one person's deck having a much higher power level overall over yours, and thus it just being imbalanced to begin with. But now, technically, Blizzard has the tools in the game to avoid that. They could set it up to where, all right, well, we have the bucketing system now. We could set it up to where two people sit down to their draft. They have to draft together at the same time, et cetera, et cetera. and each bucket that they're offered is the same. So pick one is bucket three, pick two is 2.5, pick three is bucket four. And, you know, like, so obviously it comes down to what choices they make from there, as well as class and everything else. But I think the tools are in the game now to make something like that super interesting and balanced.
Yeah, it's just, it's really comes down to a matter of if their vision for what they want to do with the game matches up with what people like us want to see happen. We'll see what happens as far as that goes, but suffice to say, it was definitely a fun experience. Oddly enough, I would say that the whole Twitch Rivals thing made up for a large portion of the amount of time that I spent looking at a Hearthstone game board, because I honestly have not played a heck of a lot of Hearthstone this past week, and not because Hearthstone's getting boring for me. Right. I played a couple more attempts at Rumble Run, still haven't gotten a full run there. I played a little bit of Clone Priest, or as I'm beginning to call it, Clown Priest, because it's such a stupid deck, but it's still so wacky and fun to play. And outside of that, I've been playing a lot of a game outside of the Blizzard Entertainment world called Kingdom Hearts 3, because I'm a nerd like that.
Haven't heard of that game yet. That's interesting.
Yeah, I played probably an unhealthy amount of that game, so much that my Hearthstone time has been relatively limited. So I'm not really going to have much of a deck to talk about this week, except to say Clone Priest is a broken, stupid, fun deck, and I love it and hate it at the same time.
I still need to try it out. I think I'm missing a couple of cards from it, though. Like,
I just crafted the cloning gallery, and as soon as I crafted the cloning gallery, I had everything that I needed to actually play the deck.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out for sure. I have the cloning gallery, so maybe I'm closer than I think. But
I'd say that's one of the bigger cards involved in it. It's basically that Velen, Malagos, and then there aren't a whole lot of like legendary cards outside of that.
That's true. Oh, so this isn't a version that actually runs like Xeric himself or anything like that?
No. Yeah, no. Yeah. This is like a Malagos Priest combo deck.
Yeah, that one can be crazy, because sometimes you just hit the right turn and you have enough coins that you've built up through gargoyles and stuff and you just win. You know, 220 mind blasts usually kills people. I mean, most of the time.
Yep, you've played enough spells throughout the game that you've gotten your spell stones to resurrect four minions at once, and even if your cloning gallery turn didn't, you know, go as easily as you wanted to because some of the minions you drew earlier in the game, so they didn't get cloned out with cloning gallery, you play that spell stone after they've died, mm-hmm. they all come back, and all of a sudden, hey, if you have a mind blast in your hand and a holy wrath, hey, that's 34 damage, GG.
Yep. And you do things like cloning gallery, coin, spirit lash at 10 mana, and then just heal to full because you've raised your spell power through the roof. All those things die, you bring them back with the spell stone. Yeah, there's cool stuff there. You're right. I think you're onto something. And I think that deck's still performing really well, even after nerfs.
Right, and we'll definitely be talking about those recent nerfs a little bit later in the show. They've definitely had an impact on like what I've seen in the game and what I hear people are talking about, what they're seeing in the game, what they're playing against. How about you, Kevin? What have you been playing lately in Hearthstone?
So I'm always a fan of the kind of like aggressive tempo mages out there. You know, past weeks of this show, I think I've covered a few of them for sure. And this is a deck that actually I'd come across before the nerfs happened. And, you know, when they announced the nerfs and everything, you look at the list and you say, oh, well, actually, it turns out that none of the cards in this got nerfed. So it was totally nerf proof. And then after that, too, I mean, some of its worst matchups were some of the decks that use the nerfed cards. So it's a good time to be running Secret Odd Mage these days. And
you madman. That's like, if I remember correctly, according to HS Top Decks, that's the number one deck right now.
Is it now? Okay. I didn't know if it had gone up yet or not. But
it definitely is.
Gotcha. Okay. So the idea behind this one, just some tips for people out there trying it out and all that. For one, actually, for me, the main reason I wanted to take it up is just to get more mage wins. I'm actually I'm at 333 right now. So I'm trying to get that 500 for the for the Golden Hero portrait. I actually have never had a Golden Mage even on my old account either, so really interested to try that out. So, I mean, when there's an aggressive mage that comes out, I almost always at least try it out, see what I think, you know? But yeah, if this is the top of the game, so here's my general thoughts on it. Obviously, it's all about using your hero power enough to use Janalai the Dragonhawk, be able to unleash that Ragnaros. But, you know, in a fast deck like this, Brian, and a deck that, like, you're trying to blow them out by turn 6 or 7 a lot of the times, mm-hmm. I mean, Janalai is just one card in the entire deck. There's, you go so many games where you just never see it, and you just never
really
need it.
It's really an alternate win condition. It's like what you win with if the normal plan goes awry.
Yeah, exactly. But when you look at it on paper at first, you don't think that. Like, you think the whole deck is built around getting it off, because it's things like Daring Fire Eater, the 1-mana 1/1, Battlecry, your next hero power. This turn deals 2 more damage. It even rocks, like, the Clockwork Automaton. 5-mana 4/4, double the damage and healing of your hero power. So, like, obviously a lot of stuff to get as much as you can out of the 2-mana 2 attack hero power that you got through the Odd Mage. But I would say, so that's all very good. The hero power is obviously very good too. But I think if you play this deck correctly, you don't even have to lean on it that much. So by that, I mean, it's got a really great early game. You know, you've got, interestingly, that Daring Fire Eater I talked about. It's a 1-1. You never want to play that guy on 1 because you're just throwing away a 4 damage hero power doing
it. It's more like a 3-drop.
Yeah, he's a 3-drop. Through and through, for sure. But then, you know, you got like Dire Moles and Fireflies and Secret Keeper, actually, to get that started at 1. Mm-hmm. So lots of options there. But then as you go up and through everything, you know, there's a lot of cards that still synergize with your hero power. In like Pyromaniac is in there. That's that 3-mana 3/4 whenever your hero power kills a minion, draw a card. Always good there. You got Stargazer Luna. I guess that's one of your more expensive cards in there as a legendary. And Baku, of course, is another one there. But yeah, so my general tips on this one are, of course, you want to always start with a 1-drop if you can. If you can't, if you're on the coin, just sometimes, honestly, just coin and hero power. You technically want to start getting the ball rolling as soon as you can on this one. And just generally speaking, you want to kind of layer the minions down first and then start launching any spells and everything after that. And by that, I mean, like, I've had games where on turn 2, I draw the Firefly, and instead of just pinging something away, I'll drop the Firefly and then the little other elemental that comes out. Because then you're setting yourself up a little bit better. And and so I do kind of actually the opposite when it comes to some of these spells, though. Because this deck does run Cinderstorm and, I mean, 2 copies of that and 2 copies of Arcane Missiles. And it's kind of tricky because, like, I found better luck launching those first before pinging if I'm trying to clear something rather than the other way around. So here's a scenario for you, Brian. Let's see what you think on this one. Fighting a rogue, they put out a Hench Clan Thug and swing. So they got a 4/4 on the board. You've got an Arcane Missiles, and that's really the only, that and your ping are the only possible answer you have for it. So what do you do, Brian? Do you throw out the missiles first, or do you ping it first to bring it to the 4/2? Generally, what do you do?
I definitely play missiles first, because if I play missiles first, I will see whether or not I'm going to kill it with my hero power. If I hero power and then play missiles, it's not guaranteed that missiles is going to finish it off.
Yep, I think you're right there. And the reason I point this out and even went through this scenario, that's a really basic example. When you play this deck enough, you run into situations like that all the time, because your hand will be like 2 Arcane Missiles, Cinderstorm, and obviously you have your ping, and you're trying to clear their board out a little bit. So, you know, I mean, if you're at 7 mana or so and you can pull off a few of those before pinging, just do it. You'll see a huge difference. And to that end, too, I'm saying all this to illustrate the fact that it's really all about keeping the board pretty clear in at least the first several turns, I'd say.
Yeah.
Turn 5 or 6, maybe you could start pointing a little more damage toward face. Because, like, enough of this stuff just hits face anyway if you do that. And if you keep your minions alive and they're chipping away and, you know, Secret Keepers are growing and that kind of thing, then...
Are you running Explosive Runes in your version?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
And I don't know what it is. I have this this love affair of having explosive runes and counterspell up at the same time, because you're just like, well, no matter what they do, something's not going to work, you know? So, and they know that as your opponent, so they try to play around it. But the funny thing is, Brian, they'll try to play around it by playing a cheaper minion, and then obviously, you know, you're not getting rid of their Hench Clan Thug, you're getting rid of maybe a South Sea Swashbuckler, the two, mm-hmm. you know, the one mana 2/1. But they do that, and sure, okay, you get your 4/4 out with your swing and everything, but tell you what, I just did 5 damage to your face. It's going to bite you in the butt later.
It's kind of a, what's the lesser of two evils when it comes to playing around explosive runes? And, you know, that one spell, I just, on a quick aside, explosive runes has won me so many arena games.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
I will aggressively draft that spell, because if I can draft multiple copies of it and drop one on turn 3, and pretty much deny them not only do I deny them putting down something on the third turn, and if I can follow it up with another one and they can't play something on the fourth turn, and at the same time I've denied them putting stuff on the board, and I'm taking their health toll down at the same time, it's just the best of both worlds.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. It really is a spell where you're kind of playing on your opponent's turn and like doing direct damage to their minions and face. I don't know. I think it's one of my favorite spells in the rotation right now. So, yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely include a deck code listing for that. It is definitely one of the more popular decks that you are going to run into out there. I would actually say Clone Priest and Secret Mage are going to represent a good number of the decks that you're going to run into out there. If you're feeling like playing a little bit of ranked, trying to get those 5 ranked wins so that you can get the pizza card back, which is a must get this month.
One of the best ever. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, I mean, while we don't talk about playing ranked too much, I strongly recommend getting some ranked play and getting one of the best card backs in the game. I will say, and we'll get to this in not too long, this is a month for some amazing card backs.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
All right.
I just wish there was a way that I could take the olives off. That's my only complaint.
Yeah, I am not much of an olive person either. It's I'm more a meat and cheese pizza kind of guy.
They're just salty and rubbery. Like what is in it for us? I got nothing.
Yeah.
I would rather eat a balloon. I'm going to say this right now.
I'd rather eat a balloon with a little salt on it.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that out of the way, folks, let's move on to a brief look at this week's Brawl with the Brawl Breakdown.
Brawl!
Okay, this week's Tavern Brawl is Servant of Yogg-Saron Tryouts. Now, this is a Tavern Brawl that has been around the block a few times. I believe this is the 5th time that we've seen the Brawl. Props always to Hearthpwn for compiling some trivia and information about it. Now, this is a relatively heavy RNG brawl where your deck is going to be filled with random minions. You're going to choose your class and see what kind of minions you get. They're going to be either class minions from your own class or neutral minions. And the reason why this is Servant of Yogg-Saron Tryouts is because whenever you play a creature, a random spell is going to go off, and that is before any kind of Battlecry effects on the minion go into play. So essentially, all these minions can cast possibly any spell in the game, and since it is open to the wild format, you could see spells that you may have not seen in a long, long time, if at all. And the interesting thing about this is that size matters kind of like in the reverse way. I feel like the more valuable cards in this Tavern Brawl are not the minions that cost 5, 6, or 7 mana, but those minions that cost 1 or 2 mana, because if you play a 1-drop, the random spell effect that happens could still be something big like Call of the Wild or Pyroblast or something that's, you know, worth far more mana than the minion you played.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling when I was playing through it too. Just the fact that, like, you'd get some strong turns, you'd be able to come back just by dropping a couple 1-drops onto your opponent's mm-hmm. board and stuff like that. So, yeah, it is a fun one. Like, as the random-ish ones go, there's some fun to be had with this one. And honestly, I think there's some strategy behind it too. You know, there's some weeks where like if it's just Fight at the Crossroads or Randomonium or any of these like pure random ones, then you kind of got to just shrug and say, play cards and try your best, right? But in this one, I think there's a little bit to it, and I think that's a really good tip. Another one I've come across too is that, so I had an opponent that was playing against me where due to just crazy spells going off, we both had clear and empty boards. And so he played out a few minions trying to get some stuff off, and okay, put up like a Paladin Secret. He put up something else that just didn't matter. And then he'd filled up his board a little bit, and the third minion he played, he cleared his own board. I forget what it was exactly, but the point I'm trying to make here is there are a lot of spells in the game that target minions specifically. So it'll say, deal 4 damage to a minion or blah, blah, blah. And if you're the only one with minions on the board, that's the pool it's pulling from, right? So like, so that's just something to think about. And it makes the games kind of interesting because obviously you want to put minions on the board so you can get extra value out of them and get spells off. But sometimes if you're ahead, you can kick yourself in the foot and kick yourself in the foot. Did I say that? It's shoot yourself in the foot. I guess you could kick yourself in the foot, but like,
I mean, if you kick your left foot with your right, you could kick yourself in the foot. So it really is possible.
I'm sure that I have several times today. So yeah, totally fine. Yeah. So there's a little bit of interesting push and pull there, I think, that honestly makes it kind of fun.
Yeah, I would say one of the things, because those one and two drops can have such a potentially big impact on the game, I would almost say you don't want to play everything. If you have smaller cost minions in your hand, you don't want to necessarily empty all of those out of your hand right away. I would even suggest possibly holding on to one of the one drop or two drops for when it looks like you are falling behind.
Yeah.
Because it could be a huge tempo swing if you play, say, in mid game, you play a four drop or a five drop, cause something to happen, you follow it up with a one drop or two drop that causes something even bigger to happen. So it's almost kind of like a game of chicken as far as knowing how much of your resources you want to spend and when you want to spend it. And what you said about like just the state of the board is so important too, because all these possible spells in the game have a chance of affecting your own creatures or your opponent's creatures. You might want to be careful on trying to win more. Like if you have two or three things on your side and your opponent has nothing on their side, it might just be the safer move to not play anything and go for face and put the pressure on your opponent to respond.
Yeah. And I mean, there's always the chance that like you could play something and buff one of your minions. Like that was always a temptation for me, is like, okay, but what if it's Blessing of Kings? Then I win. But I don't know. I just didn't see that happen enough. And I did play this a few times because I kept losing to crazy things like coining out a two drop on the first turn, and then it was I got off a volcano on myself. So, and the interesting thing about that too that you guys got to know is, and I find the interaction a little bit counterintuitive in how overload works with this. So it's like the minion casts the spell. Obviously, you don't spend any mana on the spell itself, but if they do overload it all, they do overload you for the next turn. So, like, I don't know, I think there's some other
for Yogg and Tess, right?
Yeah,
because you're actively playing that yourself. You know what you're getting into when those cards cast things that cost overload. So it's like if you get overloaded, it's your fault,
right?
But I totally get what you're saying. In this kind of brawl, when you overload yourself because it just ended up casting one of those shaman spells, it doesn't feel all that great.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, on the other hand, this brawl is one that leads to a lot of funny stories as well. I had a buddy, L-Train. He's a Lords of the Storm listener. I think he listens here, too. I'm not sure on that. But he sent me a message saying, and I'm going to just read this verbatim because it's great.
Sure.
Had the best tavern brawl ever yesterday. Went as a paladin against priest. I went first and passed. My opponent coined out an acidic swamp ooze. The spell that was cast with it? Myra's unstable element. And once he realized Once he realized his deck was gone, he conceded, easiest pack ever.
Wow.
So that's pretty great.
That's a bad beat. Yeah,
you have to concede after that, for sure.
I did not even think of that. Like, I saw one example that Joe Mag had responded to. Someone was talking about it didn't feel good to be playing against someone who on their first drop Call of the Wild was played, and they just lost like that. And they were kind of commenting that, you know, running into stuff like that feels pretty bad. And he had responded, well, yes, it felt bad to you, but for the person on the other side, that felt freaking great.
Right.
it's kind of comes with the territory of a tavern brawl like this. The one bit of strategy I do want to leave people with before we move on is, if you play this brawl as a, say, from a famous movie, never give up, never surrender. Because just when you think all is lost, you could play a one drop and end up playing Tree of Life and get your health all the way back up to 30.
Oh, yeah. And theirs, right? That heals both, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you'll reset the game for both of you. But hey, at any time, Tree of Life could happen. And I have run into, having played this brawl multiple times over the months that it's been around, I've run into multiple instances where Tree of Life has saved me from losing the game and where it's kept me from winning.
Yeah, that's a funny one. I missed decks that actually tried to run it. It was always a weird thing, but it happened like twice, I think, ever. So, pretty cool card.
All right. Well, that will take care of our Brawl Breakdown for this week. The next few weeks of Brawl Breakdowns are going to be pretty interesting. And the reason why I say that is because we already know what they're going to be about. And that has everything to do with what we got with the most recent patch to Hearthstone. There's a fair bit of stuff to go down here. But Kevin, I think it's only fair that we talk about the biggest thing that people think about when it comes with these patch, with this patch, and that is there are some pretty common cards that got hit with a nerf bat in a huge way.
Yes, there are. So, and the nerfs, by the way, on all of these are all to mana cost, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Blizzard does that by design. So they want players that haven't played in a while to come back, see a card that they recognize, and say, oh, yeah, Cold Blood, that's a card I used to like. And then get in the game and try it out and everything. And the whole idea behind it is that, like, you can't play Cold Blood on one now, because, spoiler alert, it's been nerfed to two mana. But the idea is that, like, even if you knew nothing about this news, hadn't heard about it anywhere, hadn't played in a while, you come back a year from now even, and you get in there and you're like, oh, why can't I cast Cold Blood? You look and you say, oh, because it's two now. Must have gotten nerfed. So it's pretty easy for people to get nerfs like that. They try to stray away from any nerfs that, like, change the text of the card, or also a subject that they've mentioned before, change the soul of the card. So that was something that they discussed a little bit, I think, on the Angry Chicken this past week. They had the 300th episode, so congrats to you guys on that. And they had Peter Whalen on there as well. And he was kind of talking about some of these themes and philosophy behind them. So that's a true philosophy for all of these. But I will say, Brian, that not all of these nerfs were created equal, for sure.
No, definitely. I would say so there's five cards that were hit here. And just really quickly, Hunter's Mark, Emerald Spellstone, Equality, Cold Blood, and Flame Tongue Totem. Those are the five cards. All of them got their mana cost increased by one. For me, Kevin,
except Equality.
Yeah, that's right. Equality got hit for two. And then I was just about to say, for me, of those five cards, Equality feels like the most impactful nerf because, man, I know you could play a Pyromancer in Equality still and pull off that crazy combo, but I don't see myself ever playing that kind of combo again.
I don't really either, but that combo exactly always felt too cheap to me. Like,
sure.
Just because, I mean, yes, it's a two-card combo and you have to draw both of them to pull it off, but, you know, four mana to clear an entire board, even if it's double-sided, like, to have a late-game paladin where you could do that and then put down something that costs six mana, when you're at 10 mana, like that just always didn't seem exactly right to me. So I think this is a little bit better in that regard. And also the other thing too with the quality, and I think for sure the Flame Tongue Totem nerf is another example of this. So they're really having to balance around Ganon Baku now, because we've got these even and odd decks, and you know, if Flame Tongue Totem had cost even 4 mana, could it have still been an even shaman? Possibly.
Do you think you'd run a 4-cost Flame Tongue and even shaman?
I don't know if you would either. That's probably a bad example. But how about this? Here's a better example. 3 mana equality also kind of solves the problem, but then it opens it up for Odd Paladin.
Oh, Odd Paladin would definitely use that.
Yeah, so I mean, because they've got the 1/1s that they would just ping away and kill your Lich King anyway. So it may have been a huge buff to Odd Paladin if they'd done that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just an interesting take. I know that Blizzard is actually now officially on the record saying that they're looking at Ganon Baku, thinking about ways to improve them for long term. Because really,
I mean, you know what? I know one way to improve them for long term. Move them to the Hall of Fame right now.
Well, but then
move them to the Hall of Fame in the card rotation. Say, you know what? It was a good year with odd and even, but I think 1 year is enough. Now, it doesn't solve the problem for Wild. And the funny thing, and I know you listened to the Angry Chicken, as did I. One of the things they brought up is that, oddly enough, no pun intended, odd and even decks are highly competitive in the Wild format too, and that could be an issue.
Yeah, I think that if they don't do something drastic, they're going to be an issue like for all of time. So that's in Wild anyway, obviously. Mm-hmm. But so I'm kind of concerned about that. Like, I don't know if there's a way to just delete them. I don't know, because like you can't nerf their mana cost really, and you can't nerf. Stats wouldn't even matter. Like, seriously, if Ken Greymane was a 10 mana 1/1, you'd probably still play it if you had like a solid even deck plan, right? So, I mean, I don't know. It's not going to be an easy one to fix for sure. The funniest fix I saw, it was a meme on just like some random smaller Facebook Hearthstone group. I saw it as I was scrolling through. It was like, here's a suggested idea for the nerfs to Ganon Baku. And it was like, Gen Greymane Red, if your deck only contains even cost cards, then your deck only contains even cost cards. And they just do nothing otherwise. That sounds like a good nerf to me. I don't know. I will play the decks and tell them, because I do find them fun. But I mean, the fact that we're clearly seeing some balancing around them, and then it's just the fact that it has to constantly be a consideration for them moving forward. It's kind of like the Deathstalker Rexxar thing, right? With like, are they really going to support his hero power with all the beasts for 10 years? I don't know. I just don't know.
So here's what I'm thinking as far as like possible fixes they could do. Like, and I don't know which one you'd put on which one, but one of them could be like, if your deck contains only odd cards or even cards, you start the game with 5 more life or 10 more life. So it'd still be a bonus, but it wouldn't be a bonus that I feel is super broken potentially in the early game and throughout the game. Like you still get a reward for constructing your deck that way. But I think starting with a higher life total isn't necessarily that, you know, crazy bad.
That's a cool idea I'd not heard yet.
Yeah, so I'd say like maybe one of them start with a higher life total, and with the other one, like maybe you'd put that for the even one, and for the odd one, I would say if your deck contains only odd cards, start the game with an extra mana crystal, meaning that you get to your 3 drops a little bit faster, and that could highly affect your deck construction, meaning you don't have to really worry about 1 drops as much. So you're getting into the game a little bit faster, but you're still restricted from even cards and stuff like that. And I don't think the game has a chance to snowball as much. So it's just a matter of really trying to play around with bonuses and trying to feel like what feels like a small bonus and what feels like a big bonus. And it's just something like that is just going to require, I think, tons of iterating and playtesting and stuff. I mean, the bonuses I tossed out sound fine to me, you know, just speaking them, but in practice, who knows?
Yeah, that's more creative than what I've heard, though, honestly. I've heard of, like, people talking about changing the hero powers themselves. And on that one, like, some of them would work, I think. Like, I think that if Odd Paladin made you spit out a 2-2 instead of 2-1-1s, probably fine. That sounds good. But, I mean, for other ones, like, you know, mage, what would you do? Make the hero power do 1.5 points damage? Like, there's no way to really fix that one. So, you know, I'd be interested to see what they do. I think they are definitely going to do something, though, because they've come out and said on a couple different sources that it's something they're looking at. So it's just a matter of time to find out what. But I would think probably before this next standard rotation, though. Or maybe maybe in the patch of, they'll start to change that over. But
yep. Going quickly back to the card nerf. So one question I want to ask you, Kevin, do you think even Hunter becomes a thing with Hunter's Mark costing 2 and Emerald Spellstone costing 6 and Spellstone and Traps, which cost 2 mana, having that synergy?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a good question because, like, it would have to be a kind of aggressive Hunter, right? Because, I mean, the only thing you can do on turn one, unless you have a coin, is just hero power. Right. So you're setting yourself up to chip away as much as possible. And maybe. I don't know. The problem is the regular mid-range Hunter is still just super good. So,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably going to be one of those things. I was waiting for the nerfs to go in, and I haven't played a whole lot in the past few days. But I think the next time that we talk on the show, the deck I talk about is likely going to be my attempt at Even Hunter.
Yeah, sounds good. I actually, of these nerfs too, I was going to say, I don't really think, except maybe Equality, I might dust Equality, but I'm not thinking about dusting most of these because, like,
no,
they've got a place. It is funny too, by the way, that this is the second nerf of Hunter's Mark in that it went from 0 to 1 and now 1 to 2. So,
yep.
Come 2025 or so, we're going to have ourselves a 3-mana Hunter's Mark. Just wait.
Yeah, they call that Deadly Shot, though.
That's true. Well, that'll be 5-mana by then, so it'll be fine. Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of talks about the nerfs all well and good. We talked, well, I guess we haven't really touched on Cold Blood and Flame Tongue really quick, and I would just say the nerf to Cold Blood seems fine. It doesn't really seem like that big a deal to me. I think it makes the Odd Rogue deck obviously a bit less powerful, but I don't think it breaks Odd Rogue.
And, oh, no.
And Flame Tongue being an odd cost card now, obviously Even Shaman loses a considerable amount of early game power. And I don't know how much we're going to see Flame Tongue Totem in the future. I feel like one of the goals in making Flame Tongue cost 3, it wasn't necessarily to get it out of Even Shaman, but I think it's to open more design space for other 2-cost cards to get into people's decks.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it was also definitely to get it out of Even Shaman. In particular, in Wild, Even Shaman was just going crazy. So
I bet.
I definitely am in favor of that, even though I like the deck for sure. I don't know. I think we could maybe see it, but like, kind of depends on what's in the rotation and everything. I think of this now as being like a different Manatide Totem. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's still a 0/3 you're putting out there for the same mana cost. It's just doing something else. So, you know, I mean, in a world where we don't have Fungalmancer and a few other things, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly. And I mean, Fungalmancer is only going to be around a couple more months as far as like the standard format.
Yeah, right. So you could always just run the wolf, but, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that we're just a couple months away from finding out the name and the theme of the next Hearthstone set, and we'll find out what the next year is going to be called and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Get your bets out now for Year of the Unicorn. Help support Jocelyn Moffitt's dream.
They may call it Year of the Courser, but yeah, I'm all for that one for sure.
All right. Well, there's some other things that came along with this patch, too. And one of them is, if you really quick, if you log into the game sometime over this week, and you really, really should, and there's some big reasons why you should, but one thing you're going to do is get a gold version of Fireworks Tech that's celebrating the Lunar New Year. There is a really affordable bundle of cards. You can get 10 packs from each of last year's expansions for only $19.99 if you are buying in North America. Really great way to get some cards and boost up your collection. I bought that bundle just the other day, Kevin, and I ended up getting a golden Myra Rotspring.
Oh, nice.
Which was the Rogue Legendary and Boomstay that I've been missing for a while. And I also got a Bwonsamdi and Captain Hooktusk. So my Rogue Legendary Rogues Gallery got a bit larger. But yeah, 3 legendaries out of 30 packs. I was quite happy.
Yeah, that's really good. So you made a deal with Bwonsamdi, eh?
I made a deal with Bwonsamdi to get a couple of rogues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows what price I'll be paying for that down the line.
You'll probably have a 2-hour debuff that does nothing.
That or I'll never win the Rosticons Rumble run.
that's possibly it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Besides all that stuff, there's some other really big reasons to be playing Hearthstone this week, Kevin, isn't there?
Yeah. So one of them isn't exactly huge per se, but you do get a golden Fireworks Tech card for signing in. So, obviously free stuff is always cool. This reminds
Under
me
dust.
Of... Yeah, exactly. It reminds me of that Happy Ghoul event that they did and that kind of thing. So, yeah. But they did ramp up some of the dailies, actually. So they've changed them around. They're totally new dailies, and they actually reward dust and gold. So, and it's pretty good on both. And honestly, they're, for the most part, I haven't seen all of them. I'm sure the list is out there somewhere that we could pull up. But, but they seem pretty easy. Like, one of them is just play 3 dragons.
Yes, okay. I got that one.
Yeah, so that's one you can just, some of these you just put together a deck with whatever cheapest dragons there are, a couple of fairy dragons, etc., and just get it done and concede in a casual game, right? So, I'm always for this stuff. I do wonder the timing on this, because in the past we've seen these kinds of events happen right before a new expansion, and then that's really exciting. But I do wonder if they're kind of like building up our dust and gold collection a little bit ahead of a possible event happening between now and then, which is another thing that we've seen kind of data mine that we can get into here in a second. But it's just a good time to be in playing,
I will really quickly say that these dailies are huge, because mostly I'm seeing 80 gold and 80 dust for one daily, or 100 gold and 100 dust. And keep in mind, 80 dust is normally what you get when you are disenchanting 2 packs that you open up that have nothing but cards that you already had. But building up your dust, especially ahead of a new expansion, is super huge, because that's going to get you that much closer to being able to craft a legendary or two at the start of the expansion. I mean, if you are able to play all of the dailies that you can between now and the 13th, which they originally said through the 12th, but I think they extended it through the 13th. Now.
Yeah, they did. There were some issues releasing it, I think. So yeah, they put it out to the 13th.
But yeah, if you can get as many of the dailies completed as you can between now and the 13th, I would imagine you're going to have it at least enough dust to be halfway toward crafting another legendary.
Yeah, I would think so. I wonder if I should be re-rolling them, though. I kind of want to look at that list. I'll try to Google it as we go through this, but because if there's a couple hundreds out there, the difference between 80 and 100 isn't crazy, but it might be worth re-rolling them, because they're all pretty easy anyway, right? So may as well.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other things in this patch, we found out that the Season of Rosticon is almost upon us. And what we mean by that is Tavern Brawls for the next 3 weeks, Kevin, are going to be kind of like player versus player Rumble runs. So what's going to happen is for the next 3 weeks, you will choose a class and you will get a pre-made deck for that class with one of the shrines that you would normally see in the Rumble run. And these are basically, essentially what these decks are the decks that you would go up against if you were playing like the seventh or eighth boss in the Rumble run. So this deck is highly built around the shrine that you're going to play. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of seeing whose shrine and deck strategy is better than the other. And since each class in Rumble run has three shrines, we're going to have 3 weeks where each of the classes is going to have a different shrine and a different deck to go with it. And I'm really interested to see like what shrines they pit against what other shrines, because that can make a heck of a lot of difference from week to week.
Yeah, I'm sure Joe's thought that up, like tried to think through and play test and see, you know, like how do these matchups actually work? What's the most even that we can go with? Because we don't want to get to these weeks and just say, all right, well, you know, pick mage because you're going to win, yeah. You know, as happened in that Death Knight one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's going to be fun, though. I mean, it's definitely thematically interesting and a good kind of cap to the Rosticon time that we're in. So, yeah. And then also, am I correct in seeing here that it comes with a quest that awards a Rumble pack each Wednesday?
Yeah. So on Wednesdays, you're going to get a daily appears. It's to complete 3 Tavern Brawls. And this time, completing 3 Tavern Brawls will award a Rosticon's Rumble pack. So if you are still trying to acquire some packs to fill out your Rumble collection, this is a great way to do so.
And that incentivizes players to stay in and actually try it out some, which is also cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all for that. You have in the show notes several times just it called Rumble Pack. And that's cool. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but I keep thinking of that little N64 thing that you would plug into your controller. The Rumble Pack.
It's been so long since I've thought about that.
Oh, yeah. It's now just built into everything, obviously. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
And the last thing that this patch brought, and this is the thing that kind of surprised me, is we got some new card backs in. I mean, obviously, they put card backs in ahead of time for like what the next, you know, monthly season or two are going to bring. But the one that kind of surprised me, and if you guys haven't played in the last few days, you may not know about this if you haven't been following like social media or stuff, is there's a new card back in the game that you can get right now, but the only way you can get it is if you're infected by it. Mm-hmm. Kevin, can you explain what that's all about?
So, first of all, we should officially call this the Hakard back.
I saw your tweet about that.
That's cool. Good. So it is a card back themed on Hakar, the blood god. For those of you old school WoW fans, it was the last boss in Zul'Gurub. The big snaky, feathery thing that you had to like step in the poison blood to beat. Super fun boss and one of my just favorite times of playing the game. So all for it. And the card back is kind of cool. So if you guys haven't seen it yet, I just don't think we've seen this exact color scheme before. At least I don't think so. And
it's
then like
red and blue feathers. It's
kind of like yellowish really orange. Yeah, it's very, yeah. It sticks out for sure. And then, I mean, it's animated a little bit to where the feathers kind of ruffle. So it's a good card back, but yeah, I did find it interesting. I had seen a post about it before I got on and checked it out and everything. And I wondered like how long it was going to be before I actually got this thing on ladder. Game one, Brian. I don't know if that just makes me lucky or I don't know if they've just spread that much because as I've been playing for the past couple of days, you see it a lot. And that's cool because like people who are getting it are then keeping it on so they can keep it spreading and that kind of thing. But I don't know, Brian, I feel like because, you know, I'm on a couple Discords as well, like my own through Lords of the Storm, Lagging Balls, a couple of these other ones. And I was going around just trying to post, be like, hey, guys, I have this if anyone wants it. And people were saying, oh, no, it's pretty easy to get on the ladder. So it's the kind of thing where if you haven't got it yet, obviously hop on the ladder. There's more people having it all the time, and you're even more likely to get it now. But if it really did spread that fast, Brian, I think that the CDC needs to actually do a study on this and see right? Like how fast these things can spread. because they did that.
It's all mathematics. I mean, if you give 100 people, and I think the way they started this out was they gave like a predetermined list of maybe like 100 people, like well-known streamers and stuff like that, the card back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they interact with two or three people, and then those people have it. And all they have to do is play for an hour to play against, you know, at least two or three people. And it can just exponentially get out of control really quick.
Yeah. So, and I hope they, like, at the end of all this, obviously, because Blizzard's going to be tracking the stats and all this, I hope they come out with some kind of, like, infographic or some detail where it's like, by the way, we gave this to 100, and at the end of the month, it was in the hands of...
What part of the player base is corrupted by Hakarb?
That's right. So definitely, if you haven't yet, get in that part of the player base, for sure. But, Brian, so those were the main things in the patch, for sure. Obviously the big ticket items, but have you been seeing much about this Jaina nerf that's happened, as it's being called?
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
Oh, of course I was. Yeah. Yeah.
I was tempted to bring that up when you were talking about your odd secret mage. I was going to say, are you feeling a little warmer playing that mage deck?
Yeah. Well, it does run two copies of Cinderstorm, but yeah, no. This is going around the internet quite a bit. It's being called the Jaina nerf, but here's my theory on this, Brian. So Jaina's had kind of a weird week, you know? She's got her butt handed to her by Method, you know, Limit, these teams pushing her in world first and world second races. So, you know, she did a little something, I guess, in the Battle of Dazar'alor that's notable with the story. But, you know, she's been sent home packing at this point. And I think that she just needs to, like, sit down and rethink her strategy a little bit. And in Hearthstone, she thought, you know what? It's been, like, what, five, almost 6 years? I got to change the shirt around, okay? And she did. And I, honestly, like, all joking aside, like, I'm kind of for it. I mean, I never really enjoyed, like, the over-sexualization of women in games. But, and this is... a step away from that. I didn't think that her art was that bad to begin with, but if you guys don't know what we're talking about, just look at the Jaina art and look for changes. That's all I'm going to say. Just look for changes.
I'll make it a bit more straightforward. Previously, Jaina's artwork had significant visible cleavage. It no longer has that cleavage. It is covered by like an undershirt, some extra cloth and stuff like that.
Some kind of cami, linen. Yeah, low-level linen is what it is.
I think, Kevin, what this shows us is that when she says the coal never bothered me anyway, she's really lying.
Yeah, definitely lying, for sure. I just think, though, that if they're going to put this in, and I'm all for it, why not go the full nine yards and just do a full-on, like, Daughter of the Sea, you know, Lord Admiral Jaina Proudmoore with the braid, and, like...
I agree.
That art has to be out there.
Yeah, they could have gone with the current version of Jaina as she is in World of Warcraft. And if they had just instead of covered up the cleavage from that art and they just let that be what it is, and if they just introduced a new Jaina artwork where it's her in her Lord Admiral finery and all that stuff, I think that'd be great. And I think people would be almost cheering that change more than jeering, you know, editing old art.
Yeah. I'm all for it. That's the one thing that I can't wrap my head around with this game the most is that, like, they have all these awesome art assets and awesome artists that, like, I don't know why there aren't 100 different options for our hero portraits. You know? Anyway, just a side thought. But, yeah. So one other thing, before we really get on to anything else, I just wanted to bring up as well. So this isn't in the patch per se, but it's one of those things that's getting data mined. You know how these things go.
Yep.
We had some interesting data mines in the Heroes of the Storm space this week too. So I don't know if you heard about that one, Brian.
I have not.
Well, I won't tell you.
I'll have to listen to Lords of the Storm to find out, though.
We do go over it. And if you don't want to know, don't listen to it. But
okay.
Interesting stuff. Anyway. Yeah, that was a good side plug there. Good job, me. anyway, so if you don't like spoilers here, maybe tune out for, I don't know, a minute or so. But and not that it's that spoilery, but there's been a few extra card backs that have been data mined as well. And they're interesting in the sense that they all look kind of cool to begin with. We've got, so the names of them are Pristine Scenes, Legion Schemes, and Machine Dreams. So, which I actually didn't pick up on the kind of rhymey scheme of that until you and I talked about it right before the show here, Brian. And each of them has a little tag to them. You can find the image on, obviously, our good buddy Ben has it on HearthShare on Instagram. It's going around the internet elsewhere. But so I won't like read all of the tags or anything, but each of them reads acquired in a future event. So what this event is, hard to say. My guess is, again, that it's probably going to land between now and the next expansion. Is it going to be like another arena-themed deal? Is it going to be, I don't know. Do we choose one of these three?
Yeah, so here's the thing. We're going to have more Heroes of the Storm talk in this than any other episode of Hearth Casual. But the reason why I want to bring up Heroes of the Storm again here is one thing that Heroes of the Storm has done over the past several recent months in some of their special events in questing is they'll have this kind of special quest campaign thing where they'll have factions in a way where like you'll have to choose what side or which character you're going to follow and pursue. And that kind of determines what kind of cosmetic awards that you would get during the course of that event. And it makes me wonder if they're going to be doing something similar with an upcoming event here where you choose between, representing the Legion or maybe Mechanomes or whoever that, I don't know what the Pristine Dreams would represent.
It's got kind of a light feel. So it's a white card that has it's actually my favorite of the three, if I'm being honest. I have always liked metallic kind of whites.
I got to go with the Legion card back because Warlock.
Well, it's kind of a Demon Hunters type theme as well. I think.
Oh, we know that Demon Hunters are really just Warlocks with Warglaives.
That's actually a good point. I honestly, Brian, I think that that card back confirms Demon Hunter is a class in Hearthstone.
Oh, yep. And not only that, but Engineers confirmed with that machine card back. And
the light could be, I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah.
Priests are already in the game.
Archbishops, new class confirmed.
Like a hero class of priest. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely interesting, though. It could be an event like that you're talking about, how Heroes does it, mm-hmm. in part because Hearthstone's done it, too. Do you remember the Path of the Light versus Void deal?
Oh, with the whole Twitch thing, yep.
Yeah. I do remember that. I mean, I'm hoping we're wrong. I'm hoping that we just get to get all of these three, and I don't even mind if I have to grind out a little bit somehow to do it, but yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, I will. If I have to choose between the three, I will go for the Legion card back, and we'll see how that plays out. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about that in the upcoming future. I think the next couple of like major episodes of Hearth Casual are going to be pretty interesting because maybe not the next episode, but the one by two episodes from now, I think we're going to have an announcement about what's happening with the next year for Hearthstone, Hints about the next expansion. So we're getting close to some exciting times for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we're in exciting times now. I mean, we just had a fresh round of nerfs and people are feeling that out. So like I really do think they are doing a better job at keeping a good cadence to keep this game fresh and interesting right now. So if you guys at Blizzard are listening by chance and wanted feedback on that, there's mine.
All right, well, that is quite a bit to have talked about in just about an hour. It always amazes me how we tend to talk about things in kind of a different cadence, and we tend to put a bit more preference in talking about certain aspects of the game than other podcasts do. And I always think that, how are we going to have enough to talk about for an hour? And here we are. An hour's done. Job's done.
Yep. That's about how it goes. You know, honestly, the same thing happens over at Lords of the Storm. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, the cadence of content has slowed down a little bit over in the hero space. But even then, you know, we sometimes will put the show notes together beforehand and we'll say, all right, well, this one's probably an hour or so, and then we can play some games after or whatever. 2 hours later, episode's done. So, you know, this stuff just happens. It's probably me. I probably just ramble through both of them, but whatever.
Well, and I mean, just speaking of Heroes, there are definitely a lot of signs pointing to that there's still quite a bit of life in that game. I'm really happy about that. And again, I will definitely plug here. Check out Lords of the Storm if you have any interest in Heroes of the Storm. It's a great podcast.
Thank you.
In the meantime, along with Lords of the Storm, Kevin, how else can people get connected with you?
I mean, the main place would be Twitter for sure, at Multizord. Lords of the Storm, by the way, is live Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Central on twitch.tv/HeroesHearth. So check us out over there as well. A lot of interesting stuff going on with Heroes Hearth as well. I mean, the fight night just happened. They're kind of not exactly directly involved, but a team bearing the banner is playing in a tournament this weekend and stuff. So yeah, I'm with you, Brian. There's actually a lot going on in that game too, even considering everything. So yeah, those would be the main places.
Got some recent TESPA news that's exciting for not just Heroes, but for Hearthstone as well. So it's great to see that competitive esports is still going strong for both of our games. Folks, you can find me on Twitter at RoWow. That's RHOWOW. The WoW is for World of Warcraft, and I do a podcast about World of Warcraft called Rolling Restart. And if you are just interested in Blizzard games in general, I do a podcast about all the podcasts covering those games. It's called Realm Maintenance. You can go to realm-maintenance.com to check that out. All these shows I've talked about are part of Realm Maintenance Productions, and you can show support for our shows by either, you know, going to iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review, or any of your other favorite podcast apps of choice and leaving us a favorable review. That's always very greatly appreciated. Or you can also go to patreon.com/realmpodcast and show your support in that way as well. And if you would like to email our show, we are always happy to take questions, comments, you know, deck advice, thoughts on our Brawl breakdowns.
Suggestions on what to cover. Oh, yeah.
Yes, suggestions. You can email us at hearthcasual@gmail.com. And I do believe that will be a show. Kevin, as always, it has been a pleasure talking to you. And I can't wait to get back out there and play a little more Clown Priest.
Oh yeah, I'm trying it out too. Let's have a Clown Priest.
A Clown Fiesta.
The Clown Fiesta, yes, that's good.
All right, folks. Well, until next time, for Kevin Ellis, this is Brian Black, reminding you, when it comes to this week's Brawl, never give up, never surrender. Take care, folks.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.